Patristic Nectar Publications is pleased to present A Word from the Holy Fathers by His Grace, Bishop Irenae of London and Western Europe. These short meditations reveal the ancient wisdom of the Church Fathers and apply it to 21st century Christian living. And now, His Grace, Bishop Irenae.
Welcome to another episode of A Word from the Holy Fathers. In the last two broadcasts in this series, I have focused on passages from the Holy Fathers that deal with the Holy Scriptures and our relationship to them, how we are to approach them and read them. And I'd like to continue today in that scriptural theme with a passage by our Father among the Saints, Basil the Great of Cappadocia, one of the great Cappadocian fathers, and indeed one of the great fathers in the whole of the Church's history. And I want to speak today on his Hexaimeron, his second homily in that work which deals on the 6 days of creation. And I want to raise the passage that I shall read to you specifically because the question of how to read the Scriptures is so often in the air. And I speak here not of the question of ascetical purpose, for the idea that we are to read the Scriptures not to gain wisdom but to learn how to repent is a universal approach in Orthodox life. But I'm referring instead to the practical question of how we are to interpret and to understand what we see in the texts, that age-old question of allegory versus literalism, etc. On this, suffice it to say that the Holy Fathers convey to us a broad spectrum of different approaches. In not every point are the Fathers uniform. Indeed, the idea of trying to find a consensus patrum, or that on which all the Fathers agree, is in some ways an inappropriate project, because the Fathers are not clones of one another. They do not all say exactly the same thing in the exact manner. In proclaiming the truth, they are uniform. They do not introduce new doctrine. They do not change old doctrine. They do not alter that which the apostles proclaimed from the words of Christ and their experience of Christ himself. And yet the Fathers are each unique, precious, and irrepeatable creations of the Saviour. Each one has his own heart, his own voice, illumined by his closeness to Christ, to speak the word of truth, but through the lips of a unique person, unlike any other whom God has fashioned. And there are areas in which the Fathers approach things differently, and yet those differences exist in harmony with one another, rather than conflict. And indeed, our modern fascination with trying to decide between a so-called literal reading of the Scriptures and an allegorical reading of the Scriptures, that very project does a disservice to our Holy Fathers, who by and large were happy as a whole to accept both approaches, that there are areas in which allegory provides us with deep truths not present in a literal reading of a text, but at the same time that there is a need to be attentive to the literal meaning of what is proclaimed and revealed, not dismissing it in the favor of allegory, lest we lose sight of other truths. This tension between both ways of reading is the heritage of the Fathers. And yet, in our modern world, our tendency, certainly the tendency of biblical scholarship in most of its forms, tends to focus on the allegorical as the main way of reading. And we are very easy to dismiss the Fathers when they are literal in their readings as being outmoded or outdated. And for this reason, I want to raise a passage from St. Basil that emphasizes literality, not because it is the only way to read the Scriptures, but because it is an important way to read the Scriptures, and that even though the very Fathers who proclaim it also proclaim metaphor and allegory and typology and all of these other methods of reading as useful, they do not dismiss the literal words as they are written. And as testimony of that, I would like to read you the following passage from St. Basil's Hexaimeron, homily number 2. "I know the laws of allegory," St. Basil writes, "though less by myself than from the works of others. There are those who do not admit the common sense of the scriptures, for whom water is not water, but some other thing, who see in a plant, in a fish, whatever their fancy wishes, who change the nature of reptiles and of wild beasts to suit their allegories, like the interpreters of dreams, who explain visions in sleep to make them serve their own ends. But for me, grass is grass. Plant, fish, wild beast, domestic animal, I take them all in the literal sense. For, as to quote St. Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel." Let me pause here for a moment. St. Basil is certainly being honest when he proclaims that he knows the laws of allegory. And in fact, he uses allegories and metaphors very extensively in his other writings when he wants to talk about the Holy Trinity, the nature of Christ, etc. He certainly knows how allegories work. And yet he says here, allegory has a place. But that place is not to deny the common sense of the scriptures. That, he says, is the folly of certain individuals, but not a right approach. We can see in the creation of plants a certain testimony to divine truths that have little to do with plant life. We can see in the creation of fish or sea creatures or humans or anything else testimonies to deep theological and historical realities that may have little to do with these things. But to dismiss the common sense of the scriptures altogether as if it were simply a dreamlike substance to be interpreted however we see most appropriate, this, St. Basil says, is inappropriate. "For me, grass is grass," he says. "Plant, fish, wild beast, domestic animal, I take them all in the literal sense." I remember attending a conference many years ago now on creation in the Holy Fathers, in which it was proclaimed by an Orthodox scholar that if St. Basil had lived in our modern time, he would certainly believe in the type of interpretations that see everything as allegorical and would not have insisted on a six-day creation. I found that claim puzzling when I heard it at the conference, and I found it and find it puzzling today. Not really puzzling, I should say, but sorrowful. St. Basil knew full well the alternative ways of reading the scriptures. He knew full well how to draw meaning out of these texts through allegorical means. He also knew full well that what he calls the common sense, the literal sense of the scriptures, was oftentimes difficult to understand, that it often went at odds with scientific theory, even in his own day. For example, the fact that plants are created before the sun is something that he, like many fathers, comments on. The Holy Fathers are not scientists by and large, but they're not unfamiliar with basic scientific wisdom, and everybody knows that you need the sun in order to sustain plant life. So this exposition of the common sense of the scriptures is difficult in the light of scientific data. But, St. Basil says, that doesn't mean it is to be abandoned. He goes on to say in the same homily from that passage, "There was evening and there was morning, one day, thus it is written, and later, and the evening and the morning were one day." Why, and I'm continuing here quoting St. Basil, why does Scripture say one day and not the first day? Before speaking to us of the second, the third, the fourth, would it not have been more natural to call that one the first, which began such a series? If it therefore says one day instead, it is from a wish to determine the measure of day and night, and to combine the time that they contain. Now 24 hours fill up the space of one day. We mean of a day and of a night. And if at the time of the solstices they have not both an equal length, the time marked by the scriptures does not the less circumscribe their duration. It is as though, it said, 24 hours measure the space of a day, or that in reality a day is the time that the heavens, starting from one point, take to return to it. Thus, every time that in the revolution of the sun, evening and morning occupy the world, their periodical succession never exceeds the space of one day. I quote this passage not so much to get into a discussion on creation, creationism, etc., but simply to point out that St. Basil, one of the most erudite of all the fathers of the Church, a man of extraordinary learning, scientific as well as rhetorical and theological, a man of tremendous intellectual capacity who writes some of the most precise and literate texts that the fathers will ever produce, influencing the dogmatic legacy, the dogmatic corpus of the Church, more than almost anyone else. He is not a man who, for all of that wisdom, is willing simply to throw away the meaning of the scriptures in what he calls their common sense. There is a sense in which a day can be interpreted any way we wish. There is a sense in which we can gain spiritual truth. We can gain real insight from allegories and metaphors drawn from these passages. And yet there is a point at which grass is grass and a day is a day. The scriptures themselves emphasize this meaning. That's his point in the latter section that I read, where he distinguishes between saying one day and first day. The scriptures want to draw attention, he suggests, to the fact that their face value is never to be abandoned. And as much as this may pose a challenge to us in our modern world, it was a challenge even in his day, which is why he points these things out, which is why he draws such attention to them. Let us not think, therefore, that our growing and advancing scientific wisdom poses for us any significantly different challenge than the saints faced in the past. The challenge is rather for the Christian heart. The challenge is to ask ourselves, is grass still grass? Is a day still a day? Or will external forces lead me away from the plain truth that God reveals? Let us hope that, like St. Basil, who being so learned a man, was humble enough to allow God's revealed word to speak in its own voice without being altered by the wisdom of his day, that this same mindset may find its place in our own hearts, that we may have the courage, and it takes courage in our modern world, to proclaim the simple truth of the gospel of Christ. Through the prayers of our Father among the saints, Basil the Great, and all the holy fathers, Lord Jesus Christ our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to A Word from the Holy Fathers by His Grace Bishop Irenae of London and Western Europe, offered to you by Patristic Nectar Publications, nourishing the spiritually thirsty with the sweet teachings of the Holy Fathers.